Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here this morning. As you can see, that I'm not Pastor Jared. So I'm going to start off today, lead the message with you guys, and I'm excited to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I've been coming to church here for, I want to say, 17 years. My wife, Susan, and I, our three boys were raised here. I think all three of them went through the youth group here. Now we have three grandkids here. We have a wonderful daughter-in-law, and her parents have been coming to church here as long as I remember. So it's good to be with you guys this morning. So Jared's our pastor. I'm just a normal guy that works a regular full-time job. I've been a volunteer at the church, doing different things over the years, working with the youth, working on a leadership team now. So been just a normal guy working a normal job, but you know what? I'm going to have to say this because I'm excited. Tomorrow, that all changes. Tomorrow is a dream of mine coming true, and I'm coming to be on staff as the associate minister with Jared, and I am so excited. Some of you in this church have supported me so well and have given such encouraging words, and you know, I have to say, it started about 10 years ago when there was a man named Brother Greg Douglas. You guys remember Brother Greg. If you don't know him, he was our former pastor. Wonderful man. Wonderful pastor. And he started mentoring me, and there was, I was just sharing this with Briggs this morning. I don't know if Briggs is in here. And Eric Vanderhaden, Eric and Raymond, and Bruce Sessler, Carl Colson. And we became on the staff as kind of like deacons. And Raymond, remember them books he used to make us read? Every month he was giving us another book to read. And then a couple years later, Jared started mentoring me, and that's been the last 6 or 7 years. And let me tell you, church, Jared may not always have the best jokes up here. He may not have the best dance moves, but he is a great pastor, and he loves the Lord. I spent a lot of time with him over the last few years, and I could see his heart for God and for the people. And when he makes those jokes up here that we don't really get, just kind of laugh. Is that good, Jared? So I'm excited that as we start our New Year's resolutions, this message is basically starting off as new beginnings are good. So I hope everyone had a fun-filled, loving, safe Christmas. Tomorrow we officially start the new year. Every year, millions of people start their New Year's with New Year's resolutions, different things they want to change. Top things are like health and fitness, gym memberships, maybe financial improvements. It could be things like growing, learning something new for personal or professional growth. So tomorrow starts the new year, and before I get too far, tomorrow is my wife and I's 26th wedding anniversary. She thought I forgot. She's had the blessing of having me married to her for the last 26 years. I remind her every day also. So let me ask you this important question. I bet everybody can say yes. I'm going to tell you, raise your hand if you've done this. If you've made a New Year's resolution and you've completely failed on it, forgot about it, or just given up in the past. Anybody ever do that? I'm hoping somebody's raised their hand. Some participation here. Let me tell you, last year I had 3 New Year's resolutions. I was sharing one with my friend LaVon just the other day. We were having breakfast. I was successful on half of the 3. Just half of 1. So I stood here, not on the pulpit last year, but the one was weight loss. I wanted to weigh 185 pounds after the end of the year. I weighed 195 pounds last January. Any clue what I weigh now? Anybody? 195 pounds. I wanted to be in the YouVersion app, Bible app, every single day last year. You know what I'm talking about? That you can go in there and get a short devotion every morning. I want to do that every morning. There's other things that I do. I read Proverbs every day. But I wanted to be in that YouVersion app every day. It's a 5-minute devotion you can do. I wrote it down. So I did it 270 times. So I missed it 95 times. I failed. When you look at it like that, it's pretty bad, huh? So we make New Year's resolutions. Sometimes we forget about them. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes the goal might not be very important, so we just kind of brush it off. But as we enter the new year, Millions of people start their New Year's resolutions. They want to look forward. They want to forget about the past. The past is done. It's time to move on to the new year. Start the new year off fresh. A recent study determined that 72% of the American population start their New Year's each year with New Year's resolutions. I want to share the top 10 with you. Exercise more is number one. Lose weight. Get organized. Learn a new skill or hobby. Live life to the fullest. Save more money, spend less. Quit smoking. Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more and read more. I have a video I want to share with you guys. It's from the Skit Guys. Anybody ever see the Skit Guys? Good. And it's entitled, This Year Will Be Different. Now, before we watch that video, the title of my message this morning is, I Just Can't Wait Another Year. I got one more a little bit later called New Year's Confessions I think you guys will like. There was a recent comic strip from the Peanuts. You guys remember Lucy and Charlie Brown? Okay. In a Peanuts strip, Lucy once grumbled to poor Charlie Brown that she complained about having the New Year, how her New Year is going. She complained that problems were around every corner. Poor little Charlie Brown just sat there listening. She grumbled to Charlie Brown. He says, I don't think this is a New Year at all. I think we've been stuck with a used year. So we all need to be revised from time to time. I'm going to start off in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 2, and then I'm going to move down to 17 through 19. There's only a couple of scriptures I'm going to ask you guys to go to, and we're going to start off with Habakkuk 3, 2. And normally I'd have you stand as I read this, but I want to explain the verse after and how it goes with the new year. Jared had touched on 17 through 19 last year, last week on the Christmas service, so I'm going to touch back on that again. But Habakkuk 3:2 says, I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. You see, in this verse, the prophet expresses awe and reverence for God's past actions. He's calling to God once again to demonstrate his power and mercy in the current time, particularly in the face of challenging circumstances. This verse is often seen as a prayer for God's presence and guidance in the center of doubt and hardship. Now, if you were here last week, Jared touched on 17 through 19, same book, Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. That first verse is very depressing. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there's no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. You see, in these verses, the prophet acknowledges a summary of agricultural and economic hardship, where there's a lack of fruit on the trees, no crops in the fields, and no livestock in the pens. Despite the harsh circumstances, Habakkuk declares his firm trust and joy in the Lord. The nature of this passage is a testament to the prophet's faith, proclaiming that even in the midst of poverty and trouble, he finds strength and joy in God, stressing the idea that God provides strength, enables his people to overcome challenges. As we get started this morning, let's open up in prayer. God, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time we have together, time to worship about you, time to talk to you, time to learn about you, time to hear from you. Just thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor, our staff. Thank you for our worship band that plays music for us. Thank you that we can come together and have this day. And I just pray that you'll keep us safe as we head out into the New Year's Eve and the new year. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin a new year, let's talk about things we can do different in the future. As I said earlier, I'm not an expert on it. I failed 2.5 out of three New Year's resolutions. Half the other one was right. Maybe if you ask me off stage about the other one, I'll tell you about it. So one thing I want to say, and I'm going to say this over and over a few times today, it's good to make new beginnings. It's good to make new beginnings. I'm going to suggest some different things this year, not the usual things such as reading your Bible, spending more time with family, teaching more, praying more. Not saying those usual things aren't good and we shouldn't do them. I'm just going to suggest some different things we can do this year. I'm just going to discuss seven different things we can do to help us with the future. All right, now these seven things is purity of life, being a leader, being a fighter, accepting the challenge, loving more, and trusting more. Was that seven or six? Maybe, did I say kindness? Kindness is in there too. So out of these seven things, each topic I have a certain amount of scripture to go with that topic, a lot of scripture. So I'm not going to have you turn to all that scripture. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it and tell the story. Is that okay? If not, we'll be here a long time. So number one, let's talk about purity of life. This is the one that we're going to talk about the most because we're talking about a new year. So purity of life, think about putting away all sinful things and having a new beginning. Putting away all sinful things and having a new beginning. You might have something now that you're dealing with, something that you want to overcome. You might have no success in the past with it. So I'm going to start off with this. It's good to have new beginnings. Why not decide to make a change now? It's good to make new beginnings. So I'm going to discuss some characters in the Bible. Now, these characters all had a chance to put away all sinful things and have a new beginning. So in Luke chapter 7, verse 37 through 50, talks about the sinful woman who made a new beginning. Here Luke describes an incident where a woman comes in where Jesus is dining. She has many sinful things in her life. She comes into the Pharisee's house where Jesus is dining. The woman expresses her repentance by getting on her knees, washing Jesus' feet with her tears and drying them with her hair, and then anointing his feet with her perfume. The Pharisee questions Jesus' acceptance of her, but Jesus uses a parable to highlight the woman's great faith and love. He compares the actions to the host's lack of hospitality, and if you read that whole scripture, you'll see what I'm talking about. He points out that those forgiven much will love much. In the end, Jesus assures that the woman is forgiven of her sins and encourages her to go in peace. So, church, she had a chance at a new beginning. I love the story in Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus, the high tax collector. Best known for his faith as he climbed a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus coming into town. So he was a little short guy like me, and he couldn't see as Jesus was coming in. So he had to climb the tree, look down, and see Jesus coming. He was also known for his faith of giving charity back to the people. Jesus told them this day that he came to save all people, including the lost and the worst of sinners. Zacchaeus became a changed man that day. Immediately, he promised to change his ways and give back to all the people he had cheated. You see, being loved, forgiven, and saved by God changes us. Zacchaeus had a chance at a new beginning. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 30, encounters Jesus with a Samaritan woman at the well. Anybody remember that story? So back then, Jews and Samaritans really didn't talk to each other. So Jesus comes up to the well, initiates a conversation with the woman by asking for water. In their conversation, Jesus speaks of living water, a spiritual nourishment. The woman, confused, asks, how can Jesus provide such water when he didn't even carry a bucket with him? Jesus then reveals his knowledge of the woman's past history. Basically, she had five husbands, and the man she was with now wasn't even her husband. Impressed by Jesus' insight, the woman perceives him as a prophet and raises the question about the proper place of worship. Jesus explains that true worship is not confined to a specific location, but is rooted in spirit and truth. He unveils his identity as the Messiah at this time, which prompts the woman to leave her bucket, go back into town, and tell her community. The people from her town come to see Jesus. Many believe in him due to the woman's testimony. The encounter demonstrates Jesus' ability to offer spiritual fulfillment to those who believe. Here's another person. She had a chance at a new beginning. This next one's probably my favorite story. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, is where the religious leaders present a woman caught in the act of adultery. Basically, throw her down at the feet of Jesus, citing Moses' law that such a person should be stoned. They ask for Jesus' judgment, attempting to test him. Jesus, instead of directly responding, he stoops down to the ground and writes with his finger in the ground. When they persist in their questioning, he challenges anyone without sin to cast the first stone. After writing again on the ground, the accusers begin to leave one after the other, starting with the eldest. Important thing here, some believe that he was writing the Pharisees' names and possibly their sins on the ground. And I just have that primarily based on Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13, which says, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. The woman on her hands and knees, probably in tears, left alone with her woman, Jesus says, where are your accusers and have they condemned you? When she responds that no one did, Jesus tells her that he does not condemn her either. Listen, advises her to go and sin no more. In this passage, Jesus emphasizes the importance of mercy and forgiveness. She had a chance at a new beginning. Again, we're still talking about purity of life, putting away all sinful things, having a new beginning. Matthew 5:8 talks about purity of life begins with a pure heart. It simply means happy are those with sincere and undivided hearts, for they will have the freedom of encountering God. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 through 16 talks about purity of heart as manifested in the way we think. It means for those who are morally upright, everything is viewed with purity. But for those who are corrupt and lack faith, nothing is seen as pure. Their thoughts are tainted. Although they profess to know God, their deeds clash with them. As we're discussing purity of life, I want to throw in one of my favorite verses, which is Philippians 4:8, which tells us to focus our thoughts on things that are genuine, things that are honorable, things that are just, pure, delightful, and commendable. If something possesses excellence or deserves praise, let that be the object of our thinking. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, talks about purity of the heart as manifested in how we live. Well, what does that mean? In short, the meaning of 1 Peter 1 is a reminder to believers that as children of God, they should not conform to sinful behaviors, but instead strive for holiness in their actions and their conduct. This passage emphasizes the transformative power of the Christian faith and the expectation for believers to live in a manner consistent with the character of God. So that was purity of life. That was number one. Put away all sinful things. Have a new beginning. Number two is being a leader. You see, we can all be a leader in some way. It doesn't matter what age we are. We can be leaders as we interact with people from day to day. 1 Timothy 4:12 talks about how we can be leaders by setting the proper example. You see, church, it doesn't matter if we don't have all the answers to the questions. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses you have memorized. We can all be a leader for others in the way we speak to them, the way we act, the way we love, the way we exhibit our faith and maintain purity. 1 Peter 1:13 talks about how we need the Word of God as our guide of hope and heaven as our goal, which simply means we should prepare our minds for action and exercise self-control, place our hope completely on the grace that was revealed to us when Jesus Christ appears. You see, our life goals should not have primary goals such as a good car, a fine job, a bountiful retirement, a new boat, or things of this world. Not saying there's anything wrong with these things, but there are other things besides these things. 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us to not have love for the world or the things it offers. If you love the world, you don't truly love the Father. The world promotes cravings. Listen, the world promotes cravings for physical pleasure, material possessions, in the pursuit of status, something that I had been chasing for the last 15 years. But these things do not come from the Father. They come from the world. The world and its attractions are temporary, but those who remain in God will remain forever. So purity of life, being a leader. Next talk is being a fighter. We need to give up personal pride and selfishness, something a lot of us struggle with. I know I have, and fight to give our hearts, our minds, and our souls to Jesus. A lot of people are skeptic because they have the fear of defeat. I want to say that again. A lot of people are skeptic because they have the fear of defeat. I want to share the story of the master who had three servants. He was a wealthy master, and he had three servants. This is out of the book of Matthew, chapter 25. A lot of you will remember the story. It's a lengthy story, so I'm just going to kind of sum it up. There was this master that had three servants. He was going to go away on a business trip, we'll say. He entrusted all three servants with a sum of money. They call them talents in the Bible, so we'll think of it as a bag of gold. So to the one servant, he gave five bags of gold. To the other servant, he gave two bags of gold. And to the third servant, he gave one bag of gold, each in line with the servant's ability. Master takes off, goes on his trip. The first servant, we'll say the first and the second servant, both traded and earned more. The first servant that had five bags of gold earned five more, so he had a total of 10. The second servant that had two bags of gold earned two more, so he had a total of four bags. When the master came back, he praised them for being such good servants and being so responsible for what he entrusted with them. Now that third guy, he had it all wrong. Going back to what I said earlier, a lot of people are skeptic because they have the fear of defeat. That third servant who received the one bag of gold, he was afraid of losing it. So he buried it in the ground. When the master came back, he was extremely angry at this servant, very annoyed with him because he didn't do anything with it to earn more. He took the bag of gold from that servant and gave it to the one that had five. The moral of the story is that we should use the abilities that God has given us wisely and actively rather than being afraid or lazy. It emphasizes the importance of being faithful caretakers of what God has entrusted us with, not letting fear prevent us from using our talents to their fullest potential. So we as Christians
should be not be quitters, but fighters, right? Let me tell you about the story of the Civil War soldier. During the early days of the Civil War, a Union soldier was arrested on charges of abandonment. Unable to prove his innocence, he was condemned and sentenced to die a deserter's death. His appeal found its way to the president, President Abraham Lincoln's desk. The president felt mercy for the soldier, and he gave him a pardon. The soldier returned to service and fought the entirety of the battle, only to die in the last battle. Close to the heart of the soldier, they found within his breast pocket the signed letter from the president. The leader's words, right there on that letter of pardon. He found courage. He was a fighter. But the next thing, let's accept the challenge. We talked about purity of life in the new year, being a leader, being a fighter. What about accepting the challenge? Well, what does that mean? You see, as God has placed before us the greatest gift, the greatest challenge that we could ever have, and that's telling others about Jesus, telling others about the good news of Jesus. A verse often used in the Bible about heaven is John 14:2-3. A lot of you will know this verse right away. It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." What does that mean? You see, in this verse, Jesus is comforting his disciples, assuring them that there's a special place prepared for them in heaven, plus special place for believers in heaven. It's a verse that conveys the idea of a heavenly home and the promise of being with Jesus in eternity. You see, church, if we fail in various worldly attempts, it doesn't matter. We can fail in everything we attempt. But if we miss heaven, we have completely failed. If we miss heaven, we have completely failed. Without heaven, we have lost all. We have to rise up to the challenge to tell others about Jesus. But next, use kindness as a means to happiness. I saw this bumper sticker on this guy's car once that says, "Don't tell me what kind of day to have." There's a few other choice words there. I won't repeat those now, but you kind of get the idea. Personally, I think that anyone with that "don't tell" kind of attitude probably won't have a good day. If we desire to have a good day, a day filled with happiness, a day filled with joy, we have to show kindness to others. Now, most people, not all, so don't get mad, most people, not all, are critical. They're selfish, they're unfriendly, and they're cold. Man, I witnessed this time after time after time over the last 3 weeks during the Christmas season. Can anybody agree with me? Have you been to a store or a restaurant and you witnessed somebody treating maybe the worker just terribly? I saw it over and over and over again. It was just heartbreaking, the way people treat others. But that doesn't mean we have to be that way, right? I love Ephesians 4:32, how it talks about the words of Paul at the church of Ephesus. You see, here Paul encouraged us to show kindness and compassion to one another and forgive each other just as God forgave us through Christ. If we follow Paul's advice here, we'll see that kindness gives birth to kindness. And for us to be kind doesn't mean we have to have all the money, doesn't mean we have to do a bunch of great deeds, just the way we treat others. Romans 12:15 talks about everyone can express concern and care for the feelings of others. It simply means we should share in the joy of those who are joyful and empathize with the ones that are grieving. You see, church, it's 100% up to us on how we treat people and how we talk to them. But be loving. The next one is be loving. This one's so simple. John 13:34-35 says it all. Jesus gave a new directive. Love one another just as I have loved you. Again, Jesus gives that new directive, love one another just as I have loved you. Your love for one another will be the exclusive mark by which people recognize that you are my followers. In 1 John 3:17-18, it tells us that if someone has material wealth and sees a fellow believer in need but does not feel compassion, how can the love of God dwell in them? So let's not merely express love in words or speech, but demonstrate it through our actions. As God's people, we need to work together in unity and love toward the goal of eternal life. Even though we might be Christians in here, we're weak humans trying to do the will of God. So we make mistakes over and over and over again. The last thing I want to share with you is trust God more. It's one of my favorite ones. They're all good. They're all my favorite, but this is my favorite one, Raymond. A man got into a streetcar. He was in this streetcar, and he saw this little girl, happy, radiantly humming, singing a little tune to herself. And he's thinking, what's this little girl doing on the streetcar all by herself? He leaned over to the little girl, and he says, little girl, aren't you afraid to be on the streetcar by yourself? She said, oh, no. No one can hurt me on this car. My father is the conductor. So we're thundering through life at high speed, swept through joy and grief, sickness and health, life and death, all while our Heavenly Father is our conductor. Is the Lord your shepherd? Psalms 23:1 tells us that the Lord cares for me like a shepherd, and I have everything that I need. John 10:11 tells us that Jesus is the compassionate shepherd. The compassionate shepherd sacrifices his life for the well-being of his sheep. I want to share that other video with you. It's the Skit Guys again. It's a little bit longer, but it's New Year's Confessions. I think you'll like it.
Invites me to church. He went with me. That night he said he wanted nothing to do with God. 3 years later, I get this call. It's like midnight, 1 morning. He calls me and says, Ed, you're not going to believe this, but I accepted Christ. It's pretty cool.
Tell God how much I really love
him. read the Bible more. Gotta read the Bible more.
Start taking my faith seriously. I have done this. It's scary, but I'm doing this one.
Get to know God better. I know one thing. He loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm living proof.
Surrender my life to God.
Spend more time with God. I've been on my resolution list for as long as I can remember. I've been a believer for 40 years, and I always want to spend more time with Him. It's one of the most important things, and it's always one of the hardest things to just get done, you know?
Love Jesus more. Yeah, this is...
It's a great video. Quick recap, we talked about purity of life, put away all sinful things. It's good to have new beginnings, church. We can start with new beginning tomorrow. We can start today, but if we start the new year tomorrow, we can have a new beginning tomorrow, whatever we decide. Being a leader, we can all be a leader. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter if we have all the answers to all the questions. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses we have memorized. Be a fighter. Don't be that one servant that had one bag of gold and did nothing with it because he was afraid of defeat. Accepting the challenge, we can all share the news of Jesus and the good news of Jesus. I'm a perfect example of that. I wasn't always a believer. I wasn't raised as a believer, but things changed in my adult life. Thankfully, somebody shared the good news with me. I was baptized here at this church, and then now I'm going to be on staff with Jared. I'm going to yell orders to him all day long, reporting back to Kelly what he's actually doing in the daytime. Accept the challenge. That was the sharing news with Jesus. Be happy through kindness. Remember, kindness gives birth to kindness. If we share kindness with others, it will continue and continue and continue. Loving one another. Jesus gave us that new directive when he says, love one another just as I have loved you. And trusting God more. Listen, plans may not be easy, but he's our conductor. I want to share this. This is an article. There was more to the article that I read on the internet. It's entitled, I Will Do More. This is just a short version of it. I will do more than belong. I will participate. I will do more than care. I will help. I will do more than practice, I will believe. I will do more than be fair, I will be kind. I will do more than forgive, I will encourage. I will do more than teach, I will inspire. I will do more than give, I will serve. I will do more than live, I will grow. I will do more than be friendly, I will be a friend. So let us make our future the very best it can be. You might be asking, how is all this going to help me in the new year? You see, God's ways are not always safe. Sometimes they lead us into dangerous places. Many missionaries have gone to dangerous places over the years. But God's plans are not always safe, but they're always right. They're always good. God has a plan for our future. If you have your Bible, look at Jeremiah 29:11 with me. It'll also be up here. 29 verse 11, a lot of you are going to know this verse right away. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Over the last few weeks, you've heard Brother Jared talk about Mary as we led up to the Christmas day. God's plans for Mary's life were good. She was favored. The Lord was with her. She was excited to be part of God's plan. She took the angel's words to heart when he said, Do not be afraid. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way at some point or another. All of us. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted. He was led to the slaughter. And he was silent. He didn't even open his mouth. You see, this would be the sword that would pierce Mary's heart. She would wash her firstborn son as it all happened. But was it good? It was good. Absolutely. Why was it good? It's because of Jesus' suffering that we have a future today. It was good that Jesus suffered because through his suffering, we have forgiveness. The angel told Mary not to fear God's plans for her life. Now, perhaps the angel would tell us the same thing. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do in your life. Listen, don't be afraid of how his plans are changing yours. I know my plans have completely changed. If you look back to me at 6 months ago, everything has changed. God has come through. I shared this with Ms. Kim like a bulldozer clearing the path for me. Proverbs 16:3 tells us, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So if you make New Year's resolutions, make them happen. Here's a few things you can use to help these New Year's goals happen. Mentally prepare for the challenge. Set a goal that motivates you. Maybe my goals last year weren't motivating to me, and I just kind of gave up on them. You have to have something that motivates you. What do you want to accomplish? Limit resolutions to a manageable amount. Has anybody set like 10 New Year's resolutions and try to do all 10 of them? It's probably not going to happen. Maybe one, two, or three. Well, I failed on three, so maybe I'll do two this year. So limit resolutions to a manageable amount. Be specific. What do you want to accomplish? I was specific on what I wanted. I just didn't do it. What do you want to accomplish? Here's an important one. Break up big goals into smaller goals. If you have this big, let's say, weight loss goal of 50 pounds, and that's all you look at is 50 pounds, it's going to be hard to make that goal. I think of it as like when I do an Ironman race. I go through the swim, and when I get on the bike, I know I have 112 miles to ride. And if I think about 112 miles, my mind shuts down, and I'm already saying my back hurts and my neck hurts. I break it down to a 25-mile section, a 25-mile section, and then when I get to the 100-mile mark, I'm like, I only have 12 miles left. I'm done. And then when I get to the run, I know I got to run 26 miles. Well, I break that down, too. It sounds horrible, I know. I run 10 miles, and I'm like, okay, I got 10 more miles. And then when I get to 20 miles, I'm like, I only have 6 more miles to go, and I am done with this thing. So break your goals into smaller goals. Write down your goals. Share resolutions with others. Automate where possible. What does that mean? Some people use paper for everything. I like to automate things. I use reminders on my phones, calendar invites, things like that. So if you can automate it to help you remember stuff, it's going to make it a little bit easier. Review your resolution regularly. And if you fall off track, get back on quick. So what plans of yours has God seen to be changing? What's not turning out the way you thought it would? What is God leading you to do that you just don't want to do it? Don't be afraid. Things may not turn out the way you expected or wanted, but if you let God do his thing, his things will turn out good. Maybe not safe, maybe not easy, but he has plans for your life, plans to be prosperous. But that doesn't keep out pain along the way. We still will struggle and have pain. So what do you need to surrender to God today? Maybe fear of a new job, fear of the future, fear of loneliness, fear of failure. What changes are you afraid of? I encourage you to spend time with God, talk to God, and ask him for the strength to do the right thing. One day, Jesus will wipe away all the tears. And every knee will bow and confess Jesus as Lord. Maybe you've fallen under a burden that seems heavy. Jesus knows what physical and mental anguish is. And he stands ready to help us. Help us with everything that we're dealing with. Go to him when you struggle with pain and temptation. He's ready and able to help us. He's ready to hear us, listen to us. I want to encourage you guys to, as we close today, to bow our heads, close our eyes. And let's talk about, for those of you that don't know Jesus that I speak of this morning. I used to be one of you. I used to not know who Jesus was, and I didn't care. But he knew who I was. For those of you that don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to share a verse with you, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. Now, the verse doesn't say you might be saved, you could be saved. It says you will be saved. Do you see your need for Jesus? Maybe something has stirred this morning, stirred in your heart, that just is telling you that, hey, I need Jesus in my life. That's the stirring, is the Holy Spirit drawing you close to the Father. The invitation is there. It's for you to confess Jesus as Lord and start a personal relationship with him today. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want a fresh start, if you're sitting there at home saying, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know who you are, but I just don't know where to begin. This is the moment for you. If you don't know where to begin, it's so simple. Just repeat after me. You can repeat quietly yourself. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I stand at the door knocking. I ask that you come into my life and make me a home in heaven. And if you said that prayer this morning, would you simply raise your hand just so I can pray for you? Thank you. I see those hands. Today's the chance to start fresh. Tomorrow's January 1st. It's a new year. It's good to make new beginnings. For those of you that accepted Jesus this morning and that already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean we won't make mistakes or have trouble. It just means you can be forgiven of your sins and have a fresh start. Now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to speak to you that you're already a Christ follower. What kind of help do you need from Jesus now? Yes, you're saved, but that doesn't mean you don't struggle. Struggle with finances. It could be health. It could be your job. It could be your relationship with your spouse. Go to him when you struggle. He's willing to listen and help us. Dear God, I thank you for our time together this morning. I thank you for the hands that were raised. Those hands are now people that confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they have a fresh start starting tomorrow, starting now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the ones that are in here that might be coping with problems right now, whether it's health, finances, relationships, or just different struggles. I pray that you'll cover them with the blood of the Lamb. I pray that you'll help them with their problems. You know what the problems are. You know what they're dealing with. As we start the new year tomorrow, let us start fresh. It's good to have new beginnings. Jesus, we just pray this in your precious name. Amen.